Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verses 29 to 38. Verse 29. Atha gopar parivitta bhagavan devakishita vrindavana kachajaram charyanka sahakasha. Translation. Some time later, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by his cowherd friends and accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. So, chapter 21, Venu Geet. What do you remember from Venu Geet? No. First 21, because I missed 21. I missed 21, yeah. If you don't remember anything, then I'll read some things that are things that I found nice. Yes?
All the gopis, including Radharani, paid to Lord or Goddess.
Gatyayani. That's chapter 22.
That's 21.
Yeah, that's 22. Yes, Krishna
Supreme. The purpose of eyes is to see beautiful form
of Krishna. Oh, purpose of the eyes, see the beautiful form of Krishna.
The birds shut their mouths.
Eyes?
Nose.
Mouth?
Beaks.
And they grab
onto the branch. Okay.
And the calves.
And the calves?
They stopped drinking milk.
Stopped drinking the milk.
When they heard the flute.
And they heard the flute of Krishna.
And the gopis, they felt most unfortunate. We're glorifying everyone.
Yes, everybody's fortunate except us. We are unfortunate. Everybody else can just be there, but we can't. We're
animals,
stuck at home.
Trees,
yes.
Aborigine.
The water, Aborigine, everybody but us. We cannot go there and see and hear Krishna.
By the sound of the flute, the moving creatures, we can stand.
Right.
Non moving beings.
The moving creatures were stunned and the non-moving creatures started moving.
Yamuna also became stunned, but some...
Yamuna was stunned.
She was offering lotuses to the lotus feet of the Lord.
She was offering lotuses. Okay. It's supposed to be for us. Birds are compared to sages. They have many of the qualities of the sages. Motionless. Close the eyes. And they actually are sages. They were sages, yes. Govardhan Haridasavariya. Waterfalls, fresh water for the caves for Krishna to go inside. Fruits, minerals. So Govardhan is the best servant of Lord Krishna. Yes? Demigods are flying in the sky. And the wives are affected. Okay. The demigods' wives were very affected. Poor Varag. Yes, the married gopis. And 22 is the unmarried gopis. All right. Yes?
Oh yeah, the gopis, they were, that was not open discussion, it was not like open public.
Right, it was private.
It was private.
Private.
They were in their groups, they have similar feelings like that.
Right.
And they couldn't stand but say something about Krishna.
They had to speak.
They couldn't tolerate. The, because of their intense perfect love.
Okay, Mama. Yeah, they mentioned Balaram because we discussed that parokshavad, indirect. They're speaking indirectly. They don't want people to hear them speaking about Krishna. But actually, it's about Krishna. But they mentioned Balaram. It increases the rasa.
Madhurya.
Okay, so I'll just read. I don't know if Parijan Prabhu read this for you in Krishna on the 9th verse about the flute. Glorifying the flute because the flute What auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently? So I just thought this was really nice. Last paragraph. Oh yeah, Radharani speaks this verse. You know that, right? Radharani. Oh yeah, just one of the paragraphs really struck me from that commentary. The rivers are the female friends of the flute, and the trees are the male friends, our messengers. Thus the flute, the rivers, and the trees are all our enemies. Therefore, where can we hide the flute so it does not get the nectar of Krishna's lips? So they're trying always to steal the flute from Krishna, and we should just throw it away before it causes more mischief for us. And he says, here the gopis manifest sanchari bhava of envy, which has arisen from their intense love for Krishna. Then there is another thing I wanted to read from Venugit on the same subject. How Krishna got the flute. Did Brajant Prabhu tell you that?
No.
How he?
No.
Okay. Maybe from somewhere else. Prior to the birth of Sri Krishna, the creator, Lord Brahma, inspired with a desire to serve his eternal master, appeared in Vrindavan riding on his great swan. To serve Sri Radha, he expanded himself in the form of four-peaked Varshana mountain, and for the service of Sri Krishna, he presented Nanda Maharaj with the flute, saying, give this divine flute to your son, for he will enact many pastimes with its assistance. So this was before Krishna's birth, and they still didn't have any children, and they didn't know if they were going to have. So Nanda Maharaj was delighted a son would finally be born to him. When Nandalal took birth from the womb of Mother Yashoda, he remembered Lord Brahma's words and placed the flute in Sri Krishna's hands. Ever since then, the flute has been his inseparable companion and the source of our great misery, the gopis say. And so this is the... Yeah, Lord Brahma gave him the flute before his birth. I mean, he gave it to Nanda Maharaj and said, please give this to Krishna, and he will enact many pastimes with this flute. Now, on verse 13, I have something also. And this is about the cows and calves hearing the flute of Krishna. From Venugit. Oh, in the morning time. Actually, it's not about the flute. It's about when Krishna goes to milk the cows in the morning. Until they have the morning darshan, the cows of Braj will not be milked nor feed their hungry calves. Until Krishna comes and sees them, they won't allow anyone to milk them, and they won't feed their calves either. And Krishna, he goes there and he looks at them, and each cow thinks that he's looking at her only. And he goes and pets them, and each one feels that he's petting her only, and he's by her side. And they want Krishna to milk him, or scratch their head, or speak some affectionate words. So that is the scene in the morning. Now, again about the cows. Oh, this is when they go out to the forest. Krishna, gathering the happy cows and his mischievous friends, Krishna wanders from forest to forest, passing through Vrindavan, Madhuvan, Talavan, Kumudvan, Bahulavan, and Divyakamivan. The cows are like well-behaved mothers, and the gopas are like their noisy children, laughing, shouting, jumping, and running everywhere. So the cows are actually taking care of the boys. While the cows taste the sweet grass or rest as they will, the boys swim, wrestle, and play. When the boys are tired of their exertion, they enjoy their lunch pack, sitting around Krishna and Balaram and recounting the day's heroic deeds. Then, as if by Braja's decree, they all rest in the shade of the kindly trees, and for a while there is silence as the cows take turn to guard their cowherds. So when all the boys are sleeping, the cows are guarding the boys. They're like the watchmen. Within a little while, the boys rise once again, brandishing their sticks, calling to the cows, and making merry with renewed energy. So the cows are like the boy. Actually, in Vatsalya Rasa, They're taking care of the boys. They feel that. We have to take care of the boys, not like the boys have to take care of us. They're actually in Vatsaya Ras. And the cows and calves, like the gopis, come from two categories, Nityasiddha associates, who have descended from the spiritual world, and Sadhana Siddhas, who have achieved the perfection of Sri Krishna's association. So the cows are also Sadhana Siddhas and Nityasiddhas. Cows. Among the sadhakas, there are further divisions according to their own history. Bhagavatam says both calves and cows were great sages who appeared on the order of the Lord. While some commentators say the cows were Shruti mantras, possessed of a particular desire for service. And so these cows were mantras, Shruti mantras.
Cows representing
Shruti mantras? Yes, some commentators say. In any case, by association with the Nityasiddha cows, they were able to perfect their attachment to Krishna and gain his intimate association as he roams the land of Braj.
Is there an example of the Shruti mantra?
Shruti, what's a Shruti mantra, Adi Purush
Prabhu?
Gopal Tapani Upanishad is a Shruti mantra. So Gopal, this Upanishad became a gopi. Well, we're talking about the cows now, But some of them became gopis, actually. The Vedas personified became gopis, Shrutacharis. Yep, and some of the mantras became cows. And so we have different categories of Shruti here, and which were which, we don't know, but anyway, that is the fact. And all of the cows were in Vatsalya Ras, watching the boys when they were out playing. So verse 18, we're in chapter 21 right now. Reviewing. This is about Govardhan Hill. How Govardhan gives water, soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. So here we are in Venugit. I just took the best of the best. I had so many quotes from this book, but I'm just taking like the most, the cream of the cream, because we don't have time. Because of what I missed. I missed so many. One chapter, two chapters. So now about Govardhan Hill. 18. Oh. The ordinary discomfort one feels while walking on mountains is not to be experienced by Ramakrishna, their friends, or even their cows. Wherever they placed their feet, the hard rocks became soft like cotton wool. Jagged surfaces become smooth like flower petals. Small pebbles fuse to form a continual golden surface, and thorns become decorative flowers to greet their way. So no thorns, no pebbles, no hard rocks, no jagged edges. Everything changes when Krishna comes there to walk. So there's nothing, no discomfort for even for the cows and for the coward boys and Lord Krishna as they walk on Govardhan Hill. So that was those were the essential things that I really wanted to tell you, but I wasn't here, so I just read it now. Now, what about, who remembers something from chapter 22? Krishna steals the gopis. Yes.
Well, Krishna stole the gopis. Yes.
You remember the title. Okay, very good. That's also important.
Well, they were doing special austerity.
Yes.
To get Krishna for her, for their good husband.
Right.
Then on the last day when they also invited Radharani.
They invited Radharani for the last day.
Then they went to bathe. Just the reason they bathed naked. Mm. And then Krishna came with his small
boys.
Children.
Yeah.
And from the past tense and showed them that he accepts their...
Okay. He accepted their worship, and they fulfilled the purpose of their austerities. Yes.
Yeah, all the gopis they prayed to goddess
Katyayani
that Krishna become our husband, and Krishna fulfilled their desire.
Yes, so they were praying. That was their prayer, and then when Krishna came, they started arguing with him. But actually, that's what they wanted. Nama. Oh, they had different arguments to convince Krishna.
First they were just saying
Yes, we're cold. You have no compassion. Mm-hmm. Krishna has his desire, what he expects from us. Full surrender from gopis. And he was testing if they will actually do that. Yeah, he wants. He wants us to surrender and be enjoyed by him. That's what he wants, and that's what we're causelessly unwilling to do. Adi Purush? Yeah, although he made them, you know, a very actually humiliating position, still they were very happy with him. Yes?
Gurujan said his pastime is cute.
It's cute. Yeah.
He's very naughty. Become very naughty.
Yes, I'm going to read some verses about Krishna very soon. Yes. He was intensifying their love for him. That's why he did it like that. Very sweet, yeah. Okay, in five words or less. Yeah, I think Adi Purush already said that. So I'll just, to summarize that chapter, you have one more thing? Yes, they went without their mind. So I'm going to read, how many, one, two, I think about eight slokas on Krishna, the supreme thief.
Where's this from?
This is Mathura meets Vrindavan, but they don't give a reference for this. Oh, they probably do. Oh, it's a footnote. Okay, let me see if I can find the footnote. Where it's from. In the back somewhere. Yeah, there's a footnote of where this is from. Chapter 7. Shri Chor Agraganya Puru Shastakam. An ancient song by an unknown Vaishnava.
Wow.
There you go. Now you know where it's from.
It really binds them, doesn't it?
Okay, an ancient song. 82, 83, 84. Vajay pasitam navanita choram gopangananam chatukulaksharam aneka janmarjita papa choram Charakakanyam Purusham Namami. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He steals the butter from the houses of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He steals all the garments of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He is famous for his acts of stealing. He steals all the sinful reactions of his devotees. Such a great thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam Navam Buddhashyamala Kanti Charam Parashitanam Jasamasta Charam Charakaganyam Purusham Namami. He steals the heart of Radharani. He steals the blackest hue of the dark cloud. He steals everything. For those who take shelter at his lotus feet, he steals everything they have. He takes all of their possessions, their material assets, money, and men. He even steals their mind. I offer my obeisances to that great thief, supreme thief. Akinchani kritya parashitam ya karoti pikshum patige hahinam kenapyaha bhishana chara idri dishta shitava na jagatayepi. He takes away everything from those who take shelter at his lotus feet, takes away their material wealth, their wife, their children, their kith and kin. He takes everything. Then those persons become paupers, like beggars on the street with no house, no hut, nothing. Such a great thief who steals away everything. I have not seen or heard of such a great thief, supreme thief in all the three worlds. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief. Yadi anama piharat yashesham giri prasaranna pipaparashin ascharja rupo nanuchara itri tishta shitava namaya kadapi. Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reactions. I have never seen or heard of such a wonderful thief. Pay my obeisances to that supreme thief. Dhanam jamanam cha tatendriyani Pranams chahitava mama sarvameva palayase kutta tito yachara Tvam bhakti damna simaya niruta. O great thief, stealing all our assets, bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, and everything. You are running away. Where are you running? I'll catch hold of you. You are such a great thief, but now you are caught. I'll bind you with the rope of love. Where will you go now, great thief, running away and taking everything? You are bound up by this very strong rope of love. You cannot run away now. Chinat sikoram yamapashabantam bhinat sibhinam bhavapashabantam chinat sisarvasya samastabantam naivat mano bhakta kitam tubantam. You may cut off the rope of Yamraj, you may cut off material bondage, but you cannot cut this bondage of love. Now you are in bondage. I have bound you up. Man manase tamasara shikore kara kihe dukkamaye nibata lavasvahe chora hare chiraya svachalya dosa chitam evadantam. O great thief, Lord Hari, I'm putting you in the very dark prison house of my heart. This is the right prison for you. I'm putting you here forever. This is a proper punishment for your act of stealing. Stay forever in the prison house of my heart. I'll never release you. Karakihevasa sada videye magiya madbhakti pashadita bandhananishchalasam tam krishnahe pralayakoti shatantade pi salavasvachora hidayam nahimachayami. Now I have bound you with the rope of love and put you in the prison house of my heart. Stay there. You cannot get yourself free from this very tight bondage. O Krishna, you have stolen everything from me. My material assets, my name, my fame, beauty, reputation, kith and kin. My family members, my heart and mind. This is the proper punishment for you, to remain in the prison house of my heart, bound up very tightly with the rope of love forever and forever. If crores of pralayas come, still I won't release you. This is suitable punishment for such a great thief as you. So this is by an unknown Vaishnava and summarizes what the last chapter, or the chapter, the present chapter, but now that Leela is over, and we're starting a new Leela in chapter 22. And in this, he's actually, it's the beginning of the next chapter of the wives, Krishna blessing the Brahmana's wives. And he starts by praising the trees, appreciating the trees of Vrindavan. And we'll find out why. So the first verse, we'll read again. Sometime later, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by his cowherd friends and accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. Purport. Having described how Lord Krishna stole the garments of the young gopi, Shukadeva Goswami now begins introducing the description of Lord Krishna's blessings upon the wives of some ritualistic Brahmins. Jiva Goswami comments the word atha expresses beginning of another pastime, and it is during the hot summer season, according to words that are going to be spoken. Text 30, Nidaghara Katape. So, hot summer season pastime now. We have finished with the cold of Hemantika, and now we're in the very hot summer. For the rest of this chapter and the next chapter, we're in the summer season. We're going through all the seasons, and now we're back in the summer. 30. When the sun's heat became intense, Lord Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him, and thus he spoke as follows to his boyfriends. Lord Krishna said, O Stoka Krishna and Amshu, O Shidama, Subal and Arjuna, O Vishag, O Jasvi, Devaprastha and Varutapa, just see these greatly fortunate trees whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. Even while tolerating the wind, rain, heat and snow, they protect us from these elements. I didn't know they had snow in Vrindavan. Interesting. I guess they do. And we thought we had a bad winter. Must be. Huh? Hail. Well, hail I saw. That was not in the winter. That was in spring when we had the hail. That's not snow. Snow is when it's below zero and it's very cold. So, purport, Lord Krishna was preparing to bestow his mercy on the wives of the hard-hearted ritualistic Brahmins. And in these verses, the Lord indicates that even trees who are dedicated to the welfare of others are superior to Brahmins who are not. So, wow, imagine if you're a Brahmin and you think you're the top of the world, and then Krishna is saying the trees are better. Trees are better than these Brahmins because they are serving Krishna and the Brahmins are not. Certainly, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should soberly study this point. And so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that a birth in the species of such magnanimous trees is superior and worshipable by saintly persons rather than that of such miserly karmis of the Brahmana class. So in order to make this opinion known, Krishna glorifies the trees in the four verses beginning Pashyata, wherever that is, must be. Yeah, that is verse 32. The eight boys, now we'll hear about these eight boys who are with Krishna, are situated in the eight directions with the duty of protecting Krishna. So here we have Stoka Krishna, Amshu, Shridam, Subal, Arjun, Rishab, Ojaswi, Devaprasad, and Varutapa. They're all surrounding Krishna in eight directions, and their service is to protect. Devaprasad and Varutapa are his umbrella carrier and cleanser of his path, and are situated for performing their duties in front and behind. There's 11th boy, Bhadrasena, is commander of the army of cowherd boys. So Bhadrasena is the commander. Supervising all of them, it seems he is at that time situated some distance away. So, well, the highest service one can give for Krishna is to give love of Krishna. So these trees, of course, they cannot preach, but still they are suffering. In their suffering, they're still helping others. Even when they're suffering, they are suffering the heat of the sun, but the others, they're protecting others from the heat. So what a magnanimous soul. So others will not suffer, they themselves suffer. So this is the bhava of the trees, Vrindavan. 33. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their breath is successful. The behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. And so if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya himself wanted to be a tree. So I have the verse here. It's from Adi 9:45.
Where is it?
Adi Lila, 9th chapter. Verse 45 and 46, 47, 48, 49, few verses there, up through 50. Yeah, up through 50, 50.
This is Adi 9?
Adi 9. I'm going to read it.
It's Adi
9.
You mean chapter 9?
Yeah, chapter 9. Adi chapter 9. Maliha Vik. Kahoila eta ichate sarapani rupakara hoya bikahoite. Although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit upon all. So Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya is the most benevolent personality in human society because his only desire is to make people happy. So what a desire. You find anybody like that, that just wants to make people happy? Very rare. And it's coming from Lord Chaitanya. And there's that verse, Manobhishtam, how does that start? Rupa. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. Sapitam yena bhutale. Sayam rupa karamayang dadati saparantikam. So we offer obeisances to Rupa Goswami, who is establishing the desire of Lord Chaitanya. And here Prabhupada is telling us what his desire, just to make people happy. His Sankirtan movement is especially meant for the purpose of making people happy. And he wanted to be the tree because the tree is the most benevolent living entity. So then they quote verse 33. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities, for anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. Now, Prabhupada, in the purport, says that in this verse, which is 33, he has a whole purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he says the kshatriyas are great personalities. Anyone who goes to a kshatriya is never refused. So the trees are compared to noble kshatriyas, because people get all kinds of benefits. Some people take fruit, some take flowers, leaves, twigs, cut the tree, yet the tree gives to everyone without hesitation. Then he condemns the cutting of the trees for the paper industry, for rubbish literature, for the whimsical satisfaction of human society. This is that purport of Adi 946. Yeah. Unfortunately, although these industrialists are now happy in this life by dint of their industrial development, they do not know they will incur the responsibility for killing these living entities in the form of trees. So those people who are responsible for cutting hundreds of trees, what will their next birth be? And many, many births be. Many, many tree births, it seems. Now, Prabhupada says that this verse was spoken by Krishna to his friends when he was taking rest underneath the tree after stealing the clothes of the gopis. Interesting. By quoting this verse, Lord Chaitanya teaches us we should be tolerant like trees and also beneficial like trees, which give everything to the needy persons who come underneath them. A needy person may derive many advantages from trees, also from many animals. But in modern civilization, people have become so ungrateful, they exploit the trees and animals and kill them. These are some of the sinful activities of modern civilization. So even the Supreme Lord himself, Krishna, was appreciating the service of the trees. And then, verse 47 is talking about an order of Lord Chaitanya to eat the fruit of the tree and distribute it. The descendants of the tree, devotees of Lord Chaitanya, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. So this is then the next. The fruit of love of God is so delicious that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. And Prabhupada talks about us. We have practical experience. Anyone who accepts this fruit and sincerely tastes it immediately becomes mad after it and gives up all his bad habits, being intoxicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The fruit of the tree is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we all have the fruit. So now we just have to taste it. We have to taste it sincerely, Prabhupada says. And then we'll become mad and we won't want to give it up. Fruit of love of Godhead, distributed by Lord Chaitanya, is such a great intoxicant. Anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. When Lord Chaitanya, the great gardener, sees people are chanting, dancing, laughing, and some of them are rolling on the floor, some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. So Prabhupada, for that verse, this, he says, this attitude purport of Lord Chaitanya is very important for persons engaged in Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. In every center, we have arranged for a love feast every Sunday. So he says the love feast is supposed to be like where everybody gets intoxicated and rolls on the floor. And I think in the past it was like that in some of our temples, because they would only get the nice prasad on Sunday and they get intoxicated and roll on the floor. When we actually see people come to our center, chant, dance, take prasad, become jubilant, and purchase books, we know, certainly, Lord Chaitanya is always present in such transcendental activities, and he is very pleased and satisfied. Therefore, members of ISKCON must increase this movement more and more according to the principles we are presently trying to execute. Lord Chaitanya, being pleased, will smilingly glance upon them, bestowing his favor, and the movement will be successful. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats the fruit, and as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. And Prabhupada says, it is the mission of Lord Chaitanya to act himself and teach the people. This is the function of a real teacher. One must first act himself and then teach. Unless one is able to understand the philosophy he speaks, it will not be effective. So not only should we understand, but also implement it practically in one's life. So all of us are teachers, so we must take the philosophy and practice it. And then we will become intoxicated. Madha. Remember that the lotus feet of Krishna were Madha, Madhu, and Amrita.
And
Asavam. Asavam. Oh, Asavam. I was thinking Madha. Asavam. Okay. So it's the holy name. Verse 34. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, flowers, and fruits, their shade, roots, bark, and wood, also with their fragrant sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. So many ways the trees serve people. How many ways do we serve people? I'm sure the trees are first in the list with all the different ways they can serve everyone. Of course, the cows are also pretty close behind. So I'll read something here from Brihadbhagavatamrita on this verse, verse 34. Now the verse in Brihadbhagavatamrita says, in the land of Braj, any tree with any of its parts can fulfill all the desires of anyone who asks. So any part of a tree can fulfill all desires. A leaf, a piece of bark, a twig, anything from the tree can fulfill all your desires. Yet the Lord does not always display his opulences in Braj because that might obstruct the enjoyment of his pastimes. And so the commentary says, as a simple example how opulent is the land of Braj, even the trees there can satisfy all desires with a single fruit, a single flower, or any part of their bodies. In other words, a person who approaches those trees has his life's ambitions fulfilled. If even the trees in Braj display such wonderful powers, how could the opulences of Braj be kept secret? And how could Braj be a suitable place for the Supreme Lord to enjoy pastimes as an ordinary person? Braj is suitable because the Lord reveals those opulences only in select instances when they are useful for his purposes. If there is no special need for them, he keeps them hidden. So it's not like you see all these things happening all the time, but when Krishna wants, he reveals it. Thus the opulences of Godhead are only occasionally seen in Braj, though the Lord's charming pastime is the darling of the cowherds are always visibly expanding. So you may not see this opulence of the trees all the time, but you will see the pastimes of Krishna, which are very, very sweet. So verse 35 is a famous verse quoted often by Srila Prabhupada. So I'll sing the Sanskrit here. Itava jama safayam dehinami hadehishu pranadartaityavacha shaya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So in the Bhagavatam, this is quoted, we'll go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Adi 9, very close to the other verses I read, 9:41. But it's actually quoted in a purport of 6:10:10. So this verse from Adi Lila is a very famous one. Bharata Bhumite 6:10:10. Yeah, Bhagavatam 6:10:10 is quoting verse 35 and also a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains this verse, very famous verse. Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmaja Jamasata Kodikoro Koroka. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So this is an important point that Prabhupada emphasized many times, that not only should we help others, but we have to help ourselves first. In order to help others, we have to be strong too. And that was, it's an important point. Just like you see if you go on an airplane, anybody here has gone on airplanes? Everybody here? So when you go on the airplane, they give you a little video in the beginning. And they show how when the pressure drops and the oxygen mask drops down, and it shows you should put your mask on first, and then if you have a child, you put the child's mask on second. And so, por upakar, janma sharta kori koro, por upakar. So you have to help yourself first. Make sure your spiritual health is strong, and then you can help others. And if your spiritual health is not strong, then you have to make it strong. Otherwise, you might get overwhelmed. And so this verse is also in relationship to these trees who are performing welfare with life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So in one lecture in Bombay, Prabhupada also quote, of course, many lectures, but in one lecture he said, somebody should dedicate his life for this great movement, Krishna consciousness. So he's lecturing in India. So these American European boys and some Indians have dedicated their life for this purpose, to spread Krishna consciousness. So first is life. If you can't dedicate your life, then what? What comes next? Wealth. Wealth. So you give your money as far as possible. Prabhupada quotes, he says, according to our Goswami's program, everyone should sacrifice 50% of his income for Krishna. Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami did it. Doesn't matter whether your income is 5 lakhs a month or 5 rupees a month. 50%. Prabhupada. Actually, when in the beginning of the movement, whatever income a temple would get, he applied that principle for temples too. 50% for BBT and 50% for the temple functioning. They just had to give, whether they got the books or not, they just had to give 50% to the BBT. So that was the sacrifice of the temples. Now it's different. I don't think they do that anymore. So that's why now we have friends of the BBT who will give donations and to support BBT. So then Prabhupada says, major portion of your income to the Supreme. If the government has a right to take income tax, doesn't Krishna have a right to take income tax? He's giving you everything. Sun, moon, air, food, fulfilling all your desires. So here's a chance, Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement. If you don't want to dedicate your life, give in charity. Now, if you don't have any money, then what do you give? Intelligence. So yes, intelligence. That how to dedicate your intelligence. Yes?
Studying his books.
Okay.
Preaching. And devising all kinds of methods to spread Krishna.
Devising all kinds of methods. Prabhupada gives an example. You go to somebody and you go to the devotees and you give them some strategy. You go to this such and such person or do like this, make this plan, then you will be successful. So he's saying you can give advice with your intelligence. Free advice. And if you can't do that, then give your words. So what are the words we should give to Krishna? We should surrender. Chanting holy name. Yes, that's the best. Or preaching. And what is the verse you should preach of all verses from Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadharman Pritaja Mamikam Shur. You can say, Prabhupada says, you can say, please chant Hare Krishna. He says, I think it's very easy. There's no expenditure and no loss. You can just ask somebody to chant. You don't have to give any money or lose anything. Just tell them. So, pranara tardhya vacha. So he said, I'm obliged to you. You are trying your best to push this movement. And at the same time, I must say, this movement is very, very important. It's a life-giving movement to the human society, authorized. And we're teaching this philosophy throughout the whole world. And actually, from all parts, we are getting devotees who are completely surrendered to Krishna. So I have one example of a devotee who came to Vrindavan in the early days when Prabhupada was here. His name was Marco from Italy. And he was attending some other ashram in Rishikesh. and trying to learn yoga, but he was actually looking for a guru. And he met, when he was in the ashram, he met a devotee there. And the devotee taught him how to chant and told him some of Prabhupada's pastimes. Then 2 days later, he left the Himalayas and went to Vrindavan to search for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And he took this devotee, he wasn't initiated, his name was Eliseo. He wasn't an initiated, but he was like a bhakta, and he had met the devotees. He went through Rishikesh by train, Haridwar, Delhi, and Mathura. Then a tunga, we had no transportation, like no motorized vehicles in those days. He took a tunga from Mathura to Vrindavan and arrived in late afternoon. So then he asked the horse cart driver to take him to the temple of Krishna. Right. For several hours, he went from temple to temple asking for Srila Prabhupada until finally the tunga driver became frustrated. Perhaps thinking Marco was leading him on without any intention of paying his fare, he became angry and dumped him and his companion with their luggage in the middle of the road and drove off. Tired and thirsty, he had no idea where to find Srila Prabhupada. As he sat by his luggage against a boundary wall, he noticed a steel door and decided to knock. He was overjoyed when the door opened to reveal one of our devotees, an Italian at that. The devotee brought him in, invited him to bathe and rest in the guest house and offered him prasad, so that the Italian devotee was in charge of the guest house. More importantly, he assured him he would soon meet Srila Prabhupada. One of the Vrindavan brahmacharis, Sajanashraya, who is also Italian, met with him and made him a life member on the spot. Marco easily handed over $300 cash, and it was worth a lot in those days. It was worth 10 times. Must be 3,000. Were 3,000 in those days. The dollar was 7 rupees when I came to India in 1972. 7 rupees to a dollar.
Seven rupees.
Yeah, seven, no? I don't think it was about seven. $300, so it was worth a lot. If you multiply, now you can see how much more. It's four times, actually. Four times. So $1,200. So he easily handed over the cash, but he was far more interested in the philosophy and Srila Prabhupada than an official membership. They discussed devotional service. Sajanashraya offered to come with him to Delhi to meet Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in Delhi. So then the next day they set off, armed with an introductory letter from Vrindavan Temple, arrived late at night, stayed in a hotel, and finally got to see Srila Prabhupada. They came into Prabhupada's sitting room. Marco immediately offered obeisances, although he had never done that to anyone else before. Not fluent in English, Marco had no difficulty communicating with Srila Prabhupada through Sajanashraya. Srila Prabhupada sat for a moment, studying him with a mild yet grave countenance, and he asked, "Have we already met?" Marco said, "No, but I've been thinking of you very intensely for the last few days." "Do you believe there is God?" Prabhupada asked him. Marco said, "Yes." And Prabhupada explained, "Unfortunately, modern society does not believe in God. Therefore, it's always defeated. So the first step forward is to realize we're not the body, but spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Body is meant for suffering, but people are so ignorant, they think the miseries of life are natural or even enjoyable." This is material life. "By great good fortune, we have this rare human form, the only one through which we can reestablish our eternal relationship with Krishna." Then he talked about how life in the cities is hellish, but by leading a life of simple living and high thinking based on land and cows and harmony with nature, we can realize Krishna consciousness. And his conclusion was that the people think themselves independent. They want to try to exploit nature, but they're being simply defeated by its laws. So he concluded, "It's a society of cats and dogs." "What do you think?" Prabhupada asked. Marco felt he found the right person in which to place his trust. "I completely agree," he said. "So what's the problem?" Prabhupada asked him. "No, why don't you just surrender?" He said. So Marco said, "Well, here with you, with the devotees, there's no problem. But I have to go back to Italy, be married, manage 6 companies with his business partners. So there may be big problems." Prabhupada reassured him, "Do not fear. Just become a devotee. Chant Hare Krishna. Read Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Krishna will reveal himself. In the Gita, you can find the solution to any material problem. To put an end to the cycle of birth and death and transmigration of the soul, we just have to know Krishna. There is no time to waste. Prabhupada encouraged him to use his wealth and position in Krishna's service, and he quoted this verse 35. And he said Krishna could be served by any one of the four. And then he turned to Gopal Krishna and asked him, what is the monthly budget for Vrindavan temple? And Gopal Krishna said it, and Prabhupada said, we can spend any amount of money for Krishna's work. He said, you're a talented man. You know where your talents are coming from? Every talent belongs to God. So Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So the fruits of our talents at work should go to him. So he was preaching right away to this devotee, to this person. Simply engage your skills in Krishna's service. Go home, chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna will protect you. Don't have any fear. So Marco was very happy, and he was very excited to meet Srila Prabhupada. Hari Sari is writing this, that it's clear he is a devotee. In contrast, his companion Eliseo sat to one side and did not participate in the conversation, and showing no interest in hearing from Srila Prabhupada. Just before they left the room, Sajanashray asked a question. Srila Prabhupada, what is the most pleasing thing I can do for you? And what did Prabhupada say? Because this question was asked many times. The Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Abhay?
Love Krishna.
Love
Krishna.
Preach.
Distribute
books. Chant Hare Krishna. This time he said, just become a pure devotee. So, yes, sometimes he would say, just love Krishna. There was one very famous with the book distributors. They were thinking, what they were asking, what's the highest? Thinking book distribution, right? No. Wrong. Love Krishna. And so this person became initiated as Matsya Avatar.
Wow.
And his whole family became devotees, mother, father, children, wife. And I think he even started a radio. He financed a radio station for the devotees in Italy, I'm not sure.
Matsya Avatar.
Italian.
He's quite active. He's preaching on scientists.
Oh, he's preaching on the scientific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Writing.
He's a guru now.
Yeah.
So here we have an initiating guru, the story of his coming to Krishna consciousness. Okay, very good. Huh? Yes, by Tanga. Well, I'm sure you must have experienced that. Me also. To and from by Tanga. One time I had a high fever and I was just laying down on the where everyone had their feet. And I going unreserved to Calcutta. Which was, and I counted 27 people in my seat in the train. Finally I got a place in the luggage luggage on top. They have seats and luggage.
It's the first place.
Yeah, well, it was full. There was four people up there. But then, and when they vacated, I went up there and crashed. But it was, yeah, all the way to Vrindavan with dysentery and fever. No money. Nothing. I was separated from the other devotees. I was just, anyway, that's what we did, what we had to do in those days. Just, we were young. Now I have to go AC. Those days, you just had to go any way you could go. Just hop on the train. So anyway, that was Srila Prabhupada. He made us do things that we wouldn't even dream of doing, what we had to do. So this verse is very, very significant, very important verse. And one devotee quoted this verse in his, no, the TQD. I wonder what that is. Anyway, I've got this here. Oh no, there's a Vyasa Puja. Yeah, it was a devotee. Who would go to Germany or Russia? How could the African tribesmen be elevated? How is it possible? Even Lord Chaitanya's explicit statement, devotees spread Krishna consciousness worldwide, seemed a puzzle. As late as the early 20th century, certain Vaishnavas in Gaudiya Sampradaya used to ponder over this instruction of Lord Chaitanya and wonder whether it was perhaps to be taken symbolically. But His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has changed all that. Single-handedly arriving in United States 1965, he began chanting Hare Krishna in New York, gradually gained a following. So now this is going all over the world. Yeah, they thought it was a puzzle, you know, why Bhaktisiddhanta is telling us to preach all over the world. They couldn't figure it out. But then when Prabhupada did it, then everyone understood how it's possible. So and the example is the tree. The tree is giving everything. Actually, I went to Ujjain, and Bhakti Chari Maharaj was just like a desire tree over there. Whatever anybody wanted, they would just get their desires fulfilled. It was quite amazing. Prashanta was happy she got to preach, give the Sunday feast lecture in Hindi, lead Mangalarti. She was very much in ecstasy. So he would fulfill all our desires there. So that's the devotee, Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha. Compared to the tree, Vanchakalpa Taru is the devotee of the Lord. So 36. Thus moving among the trees, whose branches were bent low by their abundance of twigs, fruits, flowers, and leaves, Lord Krishna came to the Jamuna River. The cowherd boys let the cows drink the clear, cool, and wholesome water of the Jamuna. O King Parikshit, the cowherd boys themselves also drank that sweet water to their full satisfaction. Then, O King, the cowherd boys began herding the animals in a leisurely way within a small forest along the Jamuna. But soon they became afflicted by hunger, and approaching Krishna and Balaram, spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, the cowherd boys were concerned that Krishna would be hungry. Thus they feigned their own hunger, so that Krishna and Balaram would make suitable arrangements to eat. So actually they were concerned about Krishna and Balaram eating, not their own hunger. So we'll stop here. Any questions on chapter 22, the trees of Vrindavan? Yes?
Why would Krishna be hungry? They were usually carrying so many things with them. Lunch, basket.
Yeah, that's a good question. Why would Krishna be hungry? Because he was they always carry all these lunch baskets every day.
Yogurt
and so many things.
Arrangement for best times.
Well, it was a hot day, and I don't know. Who knows? Who knows why he was hungry? That's a good question. Didn't Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, provide that day? I guess they weren't satisfied with their lunch packages that day. They wanted more. They wanted a full meal. You know, lunch packets can be not so much to eat.
Oh,
you got the answer?
Yeah,
Sridhar Swami says.
Excited by this Lord's joke on the young girls.
Yes.
So they failed. They didn't take their meals before leaving. They probably so much.
Oh, so they didn't take their meals before leaving.
Yeah, so
breakfast.
They left without taking their meals.
Okay, they left without breakfast. So then they were hungry. And it wasn't time. I mean, they didn't want to take their lunch packets. That will be for later. So they didn't, or maybe they didn't even take their lunch packets. Who knows? They just went that day without food quickly because they were so excited by the Krishna taking the gopis' clothes. Yes. Sridhar Swami says this. He's enlightening us at what happened. So he thought of that question, that somebody might ask that question. And somebody did ask that question, so. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll go to the next chapter. Whoops, yes?
Is it a tree's choice to be so generous?
Is it, what's the question?
It seems like a tree has no choice but to be generous.
Okay. Seems like a tree has no choice but to be generous. Well, if you read Mahabharata and the Puranas, trees can whack you sometimes. And some trees don't give anything. Some trees are like no fruits, no flowers.
I remember a big branch coming on the people tree. We had to take one of the workers to the hospital once.
Oh, at your place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, in front of the temple.
In front of the temple.
Yeah.
Wow. But Prabhupada, I remember another thing he said about, they were in America, in Florida, they take all the coconuts out of the trees because they're afraid they'll fall on somebody's head. So Prabhupada said, no, they won't fall because the trees have eyes.
so they won't fall on anyone's head. Trees are considerate of who is below them. Yes? Acha. Yes, he mentions about different types of trees in the first canto when he's talking about Dwaraka. And he says that people are planting useless trees that are only good for fuel on the sides of the roads. I guess previously you had fruit trees and flower trees decorating the roads. Now you have thorn trees.
In Ukraine, some roads there are too many cherry trees.
Cherry, still. Peach, cherry, just on the road in Ukraine.
Los Angeles, I don't remember the name of the woman, but there was some woman who populated all the streets with orange trees.
Really?
Mainly orange trees.
Orange trees. Yeah, there's a famous person in America, Johnny Appleseed. He planted apple trees all over America. Became famous. Yeah, but it's generally not done.
Now, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's another generation. Our generation is cutting the trees. And the previous generation was planting the trees. Yes, that is the difference in consciousness. Kali Yuga, as Kali Yuga progresses. And Prabhupada said that these beautiful trees with fruits and flowers, they're and parks, nice parks, are important for developing your finer brain tissues. They're very good for your brain to see, be in a park with beautiful flowers and trees.
To see or to...
To just be there, be there.
To be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just read recently an article that they say that the contemporary children are not getting this benefit because they live their lives in their computers and...
Oh, yeah.
They never go to the nature. So it adversely affects their minds.
Yeah, so the modern children, they're always in computers, so they never go to the reality. What are they in? Virtual reality is what it's called? Virtual reality. So they live in a dream world, and then they get they don't go out to the nature because it's boring for them.
So their intelligence is not as developed.
Yeah, their intelligence is not so developed. It's stunted intelligence and health. Yeah, country. Countryside. Yes, it's very beneficial. We don't realize how beneficial it is because we're creatures of Kali Yuga. Some of us, most of us. Although in our childhood, some of us may have experienced nature. We're living in nature.
Our house was in the middle of the forest.
Your house. That's why you became a devotee. How did you ever get out? You had to get out to go to school. Uh-huh. Yes, Jesse. And he was on a farm. He was a cowherd boy, Adi.
Just for the summer vacation.
Oh, for summer vacation.
But also in the city, we are like on the skirt of the city. So we would just go out in the fields and forests very often.
Yeah, I would go out in fields. There was a field, it wasn't a forest, but it was, the weeds were taller than our heads as children, so it was like a forest.
I was driving a tractor.
You were driving, okay. Rasabas. Rasabas tractor.
He said that when he sees a tractor or these things, then he sees one machine was eating the animals.
Machine?
Kali Chandra
Maharaj. Oh, really?
In Brajamandal Parikram. The sun is huge for grains. He said that he sees huge machines eating animals.
Yeah, it's demoniac. Demoniac methods. Now, demonic methods of harvesting. And they cut the very high now. And so then it's useless for the cows to get the hay, and it's not good. Previously they would, do it by hand. And still in some places, when I was in Goa, they do it by hand. And so then they have all the hay for the rainy season, not the rainy season, in summer, they store the hay when there's no grass for the cows. So they would get that hay, and then they would take the grains out by hand. In Goa, that's where I was. And in many places in India, still, they do that. I mean, most places. Those big machines.
I've never seen cows in Goa. I've never seen buffaloes.
Oh, there were a lot of cows.
A lot of cows too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was in a different part.
Yeah, Anjuna was, there were a lot of cows. That's why it's called, the name is Goa, land of cows. It used to be full of cows. Yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments in chapter 22? We'll read a few verses from chapter 23 for some minutes, and then we'll stop. The wives, the Brahmana's wives, blessed. Verse 1, cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Purport. Cowherd boy jokingly implied that since Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, what is that in Sanskrit here? Dushtani barhana. Okay. The Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate loving friendship they enjoy with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur summarizes the 23rd chapter, how the cowherd boys begged food and were ignored, as well as the unalloyed ecstatic love of the wives of the Brahmins and remorse felt by the Brahmins themselves. So this is a chapter on feelings here, and how the cowherd boys, in all sincerity, were going begging, and then they were ignored. And then we'll see how the wives had such ecstatic love, unalloyed ecstatic love, the wives of the Brahmins. And then the Brahmins become very remorseful. And so these are the different things happening in this chapter according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Verse 2, Shukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, Supreme Personality of Godhead, son of Devaki, replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmins' wives. Lord Krishna said, please, go to the sacrificial arena where a group of Brahmins learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the Angirasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has a comment on this. Verse 3. Krishna sent the boys to the Brahmins to teach them. He does not bestow mercy upon those devoid of bhakti, even though they are endowed with austerity, knowledge, and religious principles. On the other hand, Krishna showed he does give mercy to those having bhakti, like the Brahmins' wives, even though they lacked knowledge and austerity. Interesting. So the Brahmins, they had all these good qualities. They were austere, they had knowledge, they had dharma, but they lacked bhakti. And their wives had bhakti, and that's all you need, is bhakti. And that's why we are so fortunate that we don't need all these things to worship Krishna with, because we don't have them either. We don't have the austerity or the knowledge or these things or the dharma. So it's not the body, or we cannot understand Krishna. He's also teaching, not with our body, not with our intellect, but we have to understand Krishna with our heart, through our heart. And that is the way to understand and to serve Krishna also. So we heard the last, pranar artar dhya vacha, by life, by wealth, by intelligence, and by words. And so actually it's a life full of bhakti. And that way we can actually get Krishna. So these wives of the Brahmins are going to capture the attention of Krishna. Verse 4, when you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain you have been sent by us. Purport. Lord Krishna encouraged his boyfriends to request charity without being embarrassed. In case the boys felt they had no right to personally approach such respectable Brahmins, Lord told them to mention the names of Balaram and Krishna, the holy names of God. Now in Krishna book, Prabhupada tells us that Krishna warned his friends. He gave them a warning. And what was that warning? He said, Krishna said to the boy, to the coward boys, these Brahmins are not Vaishnavas. They cannot even chant our names, Krishna and Balaram. They are very busy chanting the Vedic hymns, although the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find me. But because they are not attracted by the names of Krishna and Balaram, you had better not ask them for anything in my name. Better ask for some charity in the name of Balaram. So that was what Prabhupada said in Krishna book. Very sweet interpretation of this verse here. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur said that these Brahmins are sleeping. Now here's another version of what's going on here. Krishna said, you should ask for rice, calling out our names. Though those Brahmins are supposed to be intelligent, they must be woken from their deep slumber of forgetfulness by calling out our names. So it's the name, the holy name, has appeared in chapter 23. And he's trying to wake up the Brahmins by the holy name. And that's Prabhupada's mission. He's waking up everybody by the holy names. As we heard, what was the analogy we heard in chapter 20 about the acharya calling? Frogs.
Frogs, yes.
Frogs, when they hear the thunder, they start croaking. The acharya, when he calls, everyone starts studying the Vedas. So here Vishnu Chakravarti says, you should call out Baladev's name first, because those materialistic Brahmins will think Balaram, being a Kshatriya, is a worthy recipient of charity, whereas I, being a mere Vaishya, am certainly unworthy. Even if they give little, it is acceptable. And so he's telling, say Balaram's name first, because he's in a higher caste than I am. Yes. Yeah. He tells them that. Yes, and also that I think we heard about that in the 15th chapter. Also, when he was glorifying the trees, how the trees are bowing down to Balaram. He was glorifying Balaram there also as the Supreme Lord. It's not the first time, but it was joking, and actually it was meant for him alone. So verse... No, but we're not talking about Krishna. Yeah, we're talking about Balaram. Verse 5, thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmins with palms joined in supplication and then fell flat on the ground to offer respect. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, though they were on the ground, they appeared more effulgent than the Brahmins who were standing upon the land of Vrindavan. So the effulgence was coming from the cowherd boys, although it was expected to be coming from the Brahmins, who are supposed to be effulgent from their studies. Verse 6. The cowherd boys said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Purport, the term Bhumi Deva, gods on earth, refers here to the Brahmins who are supposed to closely represent the will of the Supreme Lord. Philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not a primitive polytheistic doctrine holding that human beings on the earth are gods. Rather, it is a science that traces the descent of authority from the absolute truth himself, Sri Krishna. The authority and power of God naturally extend along with the extension of his creation. And on the earth, the Lord's will and authority are represented by purified, enlightened men called Brahmins. So they're supposed to be representatives of God, Bhumi Deva. This account will illustrate the ritualistic Brahmins approached by the cowherd boys were not at all properly enlightened and thus could not appreciate the position of Krishna and Balaram or that of their intimate associates. In fact, this pastime exposes the pretentious position of so-called Brahmins who are not faithful devotees of the Lord. So we'll read one more verse, verse 7. Lord Ram and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows, not far from here. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmins, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Purport. The cowboys doubted the generosity of the Brahmins, thus they used the word bubukshitao, meaning Krishna and Balaram were hungry. And they called them knowers of religion, dharmagya. The boys expected the Brahmins to know the Vedic injunction, anasyakshititam patram. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for receiving food and charity. But if the Brahmins would not recognize the authority of Krishna and Balaram, their title dvija would be taken to mean merely born from two parents. Dvija from two, ja, born. Dvi from two, rather than twice born. When the Brahmins did not respond to the coward boy's initial request, the boys addressed the Brahmins with a slight trace of sarcasm as dharma vittama, O best of the knowers of religion. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada says, although the boys were village boys, were not expected to be learned in all the Vedic principles of religious ritual. They hinted that because of their association with Krishna and Balaram, they knew all those principles. By addressing the Brahmanas as knowers of all religious principles, the boys expressed the point of view that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, were asking for food, the Brahmins should immediately deliver some without hesitation. Because as stated in Bhagavad Gita, one should perform yajna, sacrifices only for satisfaction of Vishnu. So now they are begging, and yes, they are simply begging. In the next one, they're going to instruct the Brahmins. So we'll hear about that in the next class. Any questions or comments on these first seven verses from chapter 23? Very simple verses, straightforward. Yes? You didn't know that.
It's like sometimes you wonder if you're supposed to give charity to the beggars.
Well, food is always.
So maybe beggars, or maybe because it's like you don't want to cultivate their laziness or whatever.
Prasad is always good. If someone is hungry, then prasad is always good. They should eat. Prabhupada would be happy. Many of us. It might take them one lifetime just to eat prasad before they can start chanting.
One lifetime.
To just eat. But they will get benefit.
Guarantees they won't have the animal birth next
month. Huh?
Guarantees they'll have a human birth next month.
Yeah, they should get human being.
At least.
Yes?
Those who chant the holy name are ready.
That's right.
So maybe they're on that stage.
Yes, they're on this level of performing many pious activities before chanting, and I'm sure they must be hearing the holy name during prasad some way or other.
Associating with devotees.
Associating with devotees. Yeah, that's also sadhu sangha.
At least the Mahaprasada Govinda is
listening. At least they have faith in prasad.
Yes.
That it's very nice and they're attracted and they're appreciating, so Prabhupada would say, okay, that's Shraddha, that's the first level, faith. Yes?
Like in the early days, Shraddha used to feed this peace with the Arunodasana.
Right, right. Everybody who took prasad, they all became devotees, somehow or other. Yes?
In Malaysia, we do food for life and we have a lot of Muslim drug addicts coming.
Yeah? So it's there, you know, there's hope. For them. Yes? They say Hare Krishna. In India, you have to say Hare Krishna before you get your food. Mm-hmm. I don't know about in the West. Here, before prasad, everybody has to chant the holy name. And that's their sharira avijajal.
In Mayapur, we have kirtan.
Oh, you have kirtan. That's nice. Didn't used to.
Yeah, no, three times, or four times a week with Gobi Gobi.
Oh, Nam Sankirtan. Yeah, yes. Harinam. Yeah, I know. That was. But I didn't know. Now they're taking prasad. That's nice.
Yeah, 3-4 times a week.
That's good.
Sometimes to the villagers, sometimes to the Namadvi. Many people come. And all the time, Kirtan.
Yes, so that's the way. Of course, in those places, everybody knows kirtan. But prasadam will cross over all boundaries. The Muslims are taking in Malaysia. And so that's drug addicts. So some life, they will get some benefit. Prasadam will purify them and help them. That is the Vacho Vegam. Is it Vacho or what's it called? Jiva Vegam. Not Vacho Vegam. Jiva Vegam. Controlling the tongue by eating prasad. Any other comments or questions on these first 7 verses? Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll come back at 12:20.